Thank you for giving me the opportunity to go over God's word with you this afternoon. I always find it interesting how when you look at scripture and different times in your life, things kind of jump out of on the page. I know that it's talked about as the living word, and I think that's, although there are other aspects of it living, to me that's one of the interesting living portions of it, is that it means different things to us, and it's always teaching us no matter where you are in your life. So in the scripture reading that Evan read, the question, there's several questions that come to mind. Why must we carry a cross? But I want to start back at the very beginning. And who do people say that I am? It is a question that Jesus asked his disciples as they were going to the villages of Caesarea Philippi in Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Who do people say that I am? Think about answering that question today. Who do people today say that Jesus is? I think we would get all kinds of different answers. Some would say that Jesus amounts to nothing more than a religious teacher. Some would say that Jesus amounts to maybe a good person like Gandhi or Mother Teresa. Some would say that he was a prophet. Even the answers about who Jesus is differs in the religious world today. So let's take a look. Who do you say that I am? In verses 27 through 30, in Jesus' day, there were also many answers about who Jesus was. In Mark chapter 8, verse 28, the disciples of Jesus tell him that people say that some think he is John the Baptizer or Elijah or one of the prophets. There are a variety of thoughts and concepts about Jesus even in the first century. So it shouldn't surprise us that people have that concept today. But now Jesus turns the question personal. But who do you say that I am? How would you answer this question? What is Jesus in your life? Who is Jesus to you? I want you to think about how you would answer this question as we look at how the disciples of Jesus answered this one question. Peter answered that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus is the promised Savior from the line of David. Now let's look at verses 31 through 33. Now after Peter makes this confession on behalf of all the disciples, Jesus begins to teach them some important truths. Jesus teaches the disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. This is a stunning revelation. I mean, think about it, if that was told to you. It is hard for us to understand how difficult it is to hear that message, because as Christians, we have accepted that message. But this is earth-shattering news to Peter. Jesus is the Christ and the Savior of the world, and he's not going to suffer at the hands of these people and be rejected and be killed. This simply cannot be. I mean, think about it in human terms. It seems impossible that freedom and life could come in any other way but by force. Notice that Jesus said it plainly. Jesus did not allude to the idea, but he said it plainly. He said he's going to suffer and be killed. Jesus is in complete control. This is what must happen. But look at what Peter does in verse 32. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Imagine what this looks like. Peter pulls Jesus aside and starts rebuking him. Peter is rebuking Jesus. Let that resonate in your mind for a moment. Peter is rebuking Jesus. Peter is telling Jesus that he is wrong. Peter is arguing with Jesus. Now think about what has just happened. Peter has just said that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Master. Jesus is not just a prophet. Jesus is the prophesied rescuer of the world, but now Peter is denying everything that he just confessed. You are the Lord, but this cannot be true. It cannot be the way you are saying. Jesus, you are the Christ, but not when it comes to this topic. You have this wrong. This is not going to happen to you. Listen to Jesus' response, though, because it is telling and sharp, and it should be. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man." Something we should keep in mind. Seeing his disciples seems to indicate that Peter is not the only one who was thinking this way. All of them believed Jesus is the Christ, but what Jesus has just plainly taught cannot be correct. Jesus calls Peter the adversary, which is what the title Satan means. But listen to the position that Jesus says needs to happen. Peter, you need to get behind me. You are being a roadblock. You are being an adversary to Jesus. You need to stop being in front of Jesus, and you need to get behind me. Stop telling Jesus the way things are going to be and start following Jesus and the way he says things are going to be. Now look carefully at the text. What is Peter's downfall? Why does he make this mistake? Which I think is common. I think we make this mistake also. Look at verse 33. For you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man. You have human concerns, not God's concerns on your mind. You have human interests, not God's interests on your mind. You are looking at things from a human point of view and not God's point of view. Friends, this is our primary reason for falling. This is the primary reason why we fall short. This is how we get ahead of Jesus as a roadblock rather than behind Jesus. We are thinking about our things and not God's things. We are thinking about ourselves and not God. We are thinking about life from a human perspective rather than from God's perspective. We are living according to human concerns. Friends, this is when we defy God, and this is when we argue with God, as Peter did. This is when we resist God, and we are thinking about things from our knowledge and our human perspective, but not God's perspective. So what are the requirements of a disciple? Let's take a look at verses 34 through 9:1. Jesus turns this moment into a teaching moment, an opportunity for the whole crowd in verse 34. This is such an important concept that Jesus does not teach just the 12 disciples, but the whole crowd that is there. Listen to what Jesus says in verses 34 through the end of the chapter 9, verse 1. And calling the crowd to him and his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." Here's what it means to be a disciple. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. To follow Jesus is far more than just identifying yourself, though, as a Christian. Being a disciple means renouncing self and journeying with Jesus, even to death. Denying self is renouncing control and claim of your life, your own life. We will reject our own desires and ambitions, personal goals, and the like, and submit to Jesus as he will be your master. It is the rejection of self-sufficiency. It is denial of independence. Taking up the cross is a willingness to reject all for Christ. When Jesus says we should be, what Jesus is saying should be devastating if we are hearing it correctly. To be a disciple means denying self. This is unheard of in our popular culture. To be a disciple means saying no to our desires. This is unheard of today. Say no to my desires, my wants, my wishes, my demands. Yes, this is what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Listen how Jesus tries to get us to understand this truth. You will lose your life if you try to save it. You will save your life if you lose it for Jesus and the gospel. What you do in this life means everything in regards to eternity. If your life is about right now and your concerns are human concerns, you are going to lose your true life. If your life is about eternity and your concerns are God's concerns, you are going to save your life. Now listen to what Jesus wants each of us to think about. What is the point of gaining in this life to only lose eternity? You can have everything in this world, but you would still be left with nothing, since this world is passing away, and so are you. There is emptiness in trying to persevere or preserve your physical life. What a waste of time to try to gain this world, because you will die and this world will pass away. What are you going to give for your soul? What is the value of your eternal soul? There is no price tag worth exchanging for your own soul. On the day of judgment, what are you going to give God for your soul? What are you going to give him? Are you going to give him all the money you have or all the possessions you have acquired? What is the price for all eternity? Please notice that saving your life and trying to gain this world is being ashamed of Jesus. We want this life and not Jesus. We are saying that we are ashamed of him. There are some good tests to see if you are ashamed of Jesus. Are we ashamed to tell people that we are a Christian? Are we ashamed to tell people that we love Jesus? Are we ashamed to put out in the world that we love the Lord and are worshiping the Lord and believe and follow Jesus? We want to preserve our reputation and what people think of us sometimes far too much. We care far too much about what other people think about us and our faith. Jesus says that he will not know us or recognize us if we do not recognize him before people. In fact, Jesus says in 9:1 that he was bringing the kingdom of God with power in their very lifespans. Some were standing there who were going to see the kingdom of God come with power, which we can see happening just a few years later, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. So there was an immediacy to the need of living for eternity, because Jesus was proclaiming his kingdom and its powerful arrival was coming soon. So who do I say that I am? I want to return to the question we began with at the start of the lesson. Who do you say Jesus is? What is Jesus to your life? Jesus shows us that merely saying that Jesus is the Christ is not enough. The reason we must carry a cross is because that is what it means to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If we truly believe in who Jesus is, then the only response is submission to him. If we truly believe in who Jesus is, we must deny ourselves. We must put our ways and desires to death and follow the way life is going to be. We cannot tell Jesus the way life is going to be. Far too often we want to create Jesus in our image. We want to make Jesus as the idol who makes us happy and financially successful and comfortable. We want Jesus to make us comfortable as we follow him. We must not set our minds on human concerns, but on God's concerns. A disciple of Jesus does not follow selfish concerns, but God's concerns. A disciple of Jesus sets one mind on God's things and God's ways. A disciple of Jesus does not live for this life. A disciple of Jesus does not set one's concerns on the physical. Rather, a disciple of Christ realizes that their souls are everything and they must live for eternity. A disciple is not concerned with what the world says and is not ashamed of Jesus and his words. Being a follower of Jesus does not mean being in front of Jesus. Being a follower of Jesus does not mean telling Jesus the way things are going to be. But being a follower of Jesus means submission to Jesus. This is who Jesus must be to us. Jesus is not a mere prophet or a good teacher. Jesus is the Lord, the Savior, and the Christ. Therefore, we must deny ourselves to follow him. So let me end by asking, who is Jesus to you? Is Jesus the Lord, the Savior, and the Christ that you follow? Or is it something else, and you live your life how you want and tell him how life should be? Do not lose your soul, and do not lose eternity. There is no lasting gain in this life, but with Jesus, you have all of eternal life. So I ask the question, who is Jesus to you?